Go ahead and read our devotion for today, sister.
When we pray to be sanctified, are we prepared to face the standard of this of these verses? We take them, sanctification, much too lightly. Are we prepared for what sanctification will cost? Mm. It will cost an intense narrowing of all of our interest on earth, an immense broadening of all of our interest in God. Sanctification means intense concentration on God's point of view. It means every power of body, soul, and spirit chained and kept for God's purpose only. Are we prepared for God to do in us all that He separated us for? And then after His work is done in us, are we prepared to separate ourselves to God, even as Jesus did? For their sakes, I sanctify myself. The reason some of us have not entered into the experience of sanctification is that we have not realized the meaning of sanctification from God's standpoint. Sanctification means being made one with Jesus so that the disposition that ruled Him will rule us. Are we prepared for what we will cost? It will cost everything that is not of God in us.
Mm.
Are we prepared to be caught up into the swing of this prayer of the Apostle Paul? Are we prepared to say, Lord, make me as holy as you can make a sinner saved by grace?
Mm. Mm.
Jesus has prayed that we might be one with Him as He is one with the Father. The one and only characteristic of the Holy Ghost is a man. In a man is a strong family likeness to Jesus Christ and freedom from everything that is unlike Him. Are we prepared to set ourselves apart for the Holy Spirit's ministrations in that?
Wow. Okay. Sanctification, huh?
Wow.
That right there, it's pretty much basically that's the preaching. We can all pray and go home. Repent maybe and then pray and go home. But that's what the Lord laid on my heart this week actually, and it's pretty cool how God can do that sometimes with daily devotions on Sunday mornings to go right along with the Word or whatever. Again, this week, God was it's real good the other night, Thursday night in jail, and some of the things we talked about kind of went along with this. And, I asked the guys, I think there was like 15 in the pod the other night that I was in, and the other chaplain, he ministered, and then I ministered, and I told them, I said, well, I'm going to just tell you right up front, I'm kind of in your face. And they all look, because one of them was over here diddle-dallying around, and all. It's kind of like my brother here does sometimes, but he's finished, he's twiddling around. If he'd had a cell phone, he might have had one, I don't know. But the only time we're going to have, I'm going to put a sign out here, the only time you can have your cell phone is when you're going to look your Bible up. Use it for a Bible. But anyway, he his eyes got big, and I said, well, I want to ask you this question. How many's been in here before, or this is more than once? And not just 90% this time, 100% hand up. How many's been in here more than three times? 100%.
Oh, gosh.
Four times, 100%.
Oh, my God.
I said, do we see a pattern here, guys? And and these guys were studying the Word of God. They were actually having three Bible studies a day. And some of them knew the Word of God. Really, they could find the Scripture, and they knew where the Bible. Well, it just reminded me, it doesn't matter how much head knowledge we have.
That's right.
Right.
So when it got to five, it dropped to 80%. So that was a lot better. But anyway, I explain what insanity really is. And so we actually went deeper into sanctification a little bit. But the Lord led me to some stuff this week, and it's not going to be long. I've got 30 minutes, so I'm good. There's a story. Excuse me. I'm starting to lose my voice. that cold air last night about got me. Let me get a little more. There's a story. It's not a story. It's actually truth. But there was in 1987. Some of you, let's see, pretty young. You might not have been a kid, baby back then. But there was an instance where an airline 225 leaving Detroit crashed, and on the way down from crashing, this there was 156 people aboard this airline, and there was only one survivor, and that was a four-year-old girl. Her name was Cecilia. And the story told was that the mother of Cecilia, on the way down when the plane was crashing, the mother of the young girl unbuckled her seatbelt and got on her knees, surrounded her whole body around her four-year-old daughter, Cecilia. And when the plane crashed, the girl was saved. I'd heard that story before, but when it come up, when I was doing my research for what the Lord wanted me to say, reminded me of that story and how that God loves us that much. And the love that the mother showed, you know, when we hear this story, it's just unbelievable. In fact, her love was the acting force that enabled her to give her all for her child. To give her all, everything. She knew that she could die and probably would, but she sacrificed herself. Isn't that what sanctification is in a way? And we begin to sacrifice ourselves before the Lord. And, oh man, we heard it in that reading there. And so I want you to think about that as we talk about a couple things tonight. And Jesus, or tonight, today, and Jesus said in Matthew 22, I'm going to be over in Romans 12 if you want to turn there. You can get ready there. But Jesus said in Matthew 22 and 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love. How many know what the disciples were asking Jesus? What are the greatest commandments? Who knows? And we talk about these often, but
honor thy mother and father.
The first, he said, the first one, Matthew 22, 37 and 38. What does he say?
Love your heart.
Come on, say it out loud.
Love the dear Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength.
That's right. Notice what that word is in there.
It wasn't his disciples asking him. They were tempting him.
They were tempting him, trying to trap him. They were trying to trap him, the Pharisees and Sadducees, but his disciples, he was talking with them and at them too. And then the next verse he said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God, well, that's the one, with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, he said. And in many ways, as Christians, we know in our mind that we should be totally devoted to the Lord, don't we? Ain't that everyone in this room could probably agree to say, I know that I'm supposed to be totally committed to the Lord. But it's not that we don't understand that command, really. We don't, do we? Everyone in here probably have heard that command. Do we actually believe it? Do we actually do it? I mean, the problem lies in How do we devote our lives to God so that we can give our all, our best to the Lord? So there's a problem there, right? Just like these young men I talked to you earlier about. just knowing isn't enough. Head knowledge is not enough. There's lots of scholars who don't know Jesus.
Yes.
Who can quote you chapters and verses and probably half of this they would call book. Because they have not had an encounter with the true Messiah, the true God. They don't understand where when you sing like that song we have, you melt in His presence. When He comes in the room, it's like, whoa. Even His disciples, they were questionable. I mean, Jesus dealt with, everybody was unbeliever. They believed in the covenants. They believed in the Old Testaments and stuff. But when Jesus came on the scene, He battled it all the time, didn't He? Even with His own disciples that followed Him. So today's word's challenging because first thing I'm going to talk to you is about our commitment. Our commitment. What does commitment mean? What does commitment mean? Somebody don't jump out there all at the same time, but you know, loyalty. Does anybody want to, huh?
Loyalty.
Loyalty, good
dedication.
Word. Dedication.
It makes me
to
think
make
of
a promise.
It makes me think of like a contract or a commitment. When you make a commitment, it makes me think of marriage. Commitment.
Perfect, okay. So, and we know that what God, Jesus taught was that of, and we, even from the Old Covenant, God was about covenant, right? Being in a covenant relationship. What's a covenant?
Making a pact with somebody.
Yes.
Good.
Very
yeah.
Good.
You get a, we'll give you a gold star.
I want a male chip.
All right. Gold star today. So, covenant. So, and we also know that it's taught as like two people married. When you make a commitment and you stand before and you say, I do. Right? Even in today's world, that's skewed in a way. Marriage, isn't it? Because in our thoughts, in our mind, most people this day think, well, if it don't work out, you know, I always get what?
Divorce.
Divorce. Well, you know, and I'm not going to get into numbers, but those are pretty much out there on their own if you did a survey, right? Mm-hmm. How many marriages survive? So I think our commitment word is somewhat skewed, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I don't believe it has all in there. It ain't. It's not kind of like the poke. You know how the world poker tour took over like 10 years ago, and everybody was playing the
right,
no the poker the
online or what? Texas Hold'em.
Texas Hold'em. Yeah. That's it. We know.
I'm about to say the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Guilty. Yeah. But what was the one thing you heard? Most people in the world heard or watched any of it. That they probably never heard before. If it got down and they had the good hand.
I'm all in.
That's what God's saying today. Are you all in?
Ooh.
All in.
Ooh, bring it.
Let's look at Romans 12:1. And we're going to see three ways today to devote our lives to God. And first thing is our commitment. In verse 1 it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by what?
God's mercy.
The mercies of God. Remember, we can't do this most of our life, right? It's by God's grace and mercy. What's the difference between grace and mercy?
Grace is God's supernatural power that He gives you that you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting the negative punishment that you do deserve.
Okay, say no more. By the mercies of God that you present what?
Your
your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
It also says worship, act of worship.
Excuse me.
Mine says spiritual act of worship.
Yeah, different translations. So,
service.
Paul says here, present your bodies. And this word, this word, I'm not going to go into the Greek or whatever, but this word here means present your whole person. Your whole person as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. So, oftentimes we get this view too, that it's talking about just our body, physical body, right?
Right.
And we use this as, you know, well, I'm going to go on a diet, you know, and I need to lose some weight. And you know, and people use this, but he's talking about, Paul's talking about your whole body. Body, soul, spirit, mind, will, emotion, your actions, the things that, you know, your body. So you look at it in that perspective, and it brings it out. Even a deeper meaning of what Paul's trying to teach us here and tell us. And Jesus said in Matthew 29, speaking on those great commandments, you know, as we, he says, and second is likened to, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You see, learning to love ourselves sometimes is hard. We've got another skewed thoughts of what love means. It's getting, right? Love is always about us. A lot of times we think, you know, whether it's in, you know, love, relationships with one another, or things we think we need. But when you think about this whole person thing, and when we start understanding what the true meaning of love is, it's not receiving, it's giving. And when you start to give, there's something missing most of the time in all our lives, because we're always wanting to receive. Mm-hmm. And we're not complete, we're not whole most of the time in our life, because we don't really understand what it means, like Jesus was trying to teach them all along. It's about giving of yourself for benefits of another. It's all about giving and that type of love. And so, another thing is that some of us don't know how to love others. And we fall short. We fall short because of that one thing of not learning what love really, truly is. Our commitments are nothing more than a thought. Our commitment is that of, well, I know to do this, but I'm not fully all in. I know that I should do this, but I'm just not ready to be there. Most of the time in our life. We're somewhat confused most of our lives because we've never truly accepted the fullness of God and who God is. And there's more to the plan of God in our lives than we can even imagine. We go through life and we think that, you know, we've put on the whole armor of God. You know, it talks about that, right? Putting on the whole armor of God. We just put on most of the time what we think we need. It's not the whole armor we're putting on. Just what we need for that time. It's what our thoughts are. So you see, our commitment to God, our family, to our lives, we all fall short half the time, and we haven't allowed God to really completely do what He wants to in our lives and become the whole person that God is really and truly wanting us to be. It's just like a message I preached a couple weeks ago about the rich young ruler, and some of you weren't here. But the rich young ruler, we learned in this message was that he had what?
Property.
So we know that he was wealthy, because to have property in that time, it was unheard of. Most of the people were, shepherds, whatever, they wandered, and they didn't have land. So he had to be rich, the whole story. What else? He was young, so he had his youth, you know. He's probably a good-looking young man, had wealth, money. What else did he have?
Probably a lot of women.
Absolutely. I'm sure he did. Good point. Absolutely. What else?
I wish I...
Yeah, you should have been here.
Is that a story?
He got him.
Have Jesus. Yeah.
Who are we talking about?
Rich young ruler.
Wow.
Okay.
There you go.
Is that a story of Acts?
No, it's in the Gospels.
I mean, it's not the book of Acts.
No, it's in the Gospel.
It's
in Mark and Luke, yeah. And you look up any of the headliners, look it up, it'll say the rich young ruler. But he also had religion. Because when Jesus, he asked him, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" That's when he run up to Jesus. So, and I'm not going to go deep in this because I don't want to preach it all over again. It's on the webpage if you want to go in there and listen to it. But he had religion because Jesus, even knowing... See, God knows the intent of our heart. And Jesus could have very well right off just said, "Well, you hadn't done this, you hadn't done this, you hadn't done this, so you can't inherit eternal life." What did he do? He skipped over the first five commandments that he knew the young man had not fulfilled. And he quoted out four of the ones that he had and left the last one out too, because that's on covetousness. Because his whole life was centered around money, women probably, property.
Getting.
He couldn't understand. There was something missing. He needed. There was something missing in his life. And he thought it was eternal life.
Because he wanted to get it.
Because he wanted, what do I have to do to get it? What do I have to inherit it? He wanted it give to him. Inheritance is giving something give to you, right? It's not nothing you earn. It's not nothing you... So, you know, he was a religious man. But the whole fact was, there was something missing. And when Jesus told him this, he said, "I've done all these things." That showed he was religious. But then Jesus got to the point. It said that he had love for him. He looked at him, and he had love for him. After he said that, "I've done all these things, Lord." He looked at him and had a love for him. I just see Jesus probably grin a little bit and says, "Okay, well, go sell all that you got. Give to the poor."
That would be me.
And guess what he done? He went and turned away from eternal life. And turned his back on the fullness of who God could have been inside of this young man. He was missing that one thing. Jesus. And he was right in front of him. He was right there. Don't we do that sometimes? So Jesus teaching also in the vows and oaths in Matthew 5:37 also said, all you need to say is simply yes and no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. We're like the ship again, tossed all over the place. We go this way and that way. We tell, you know, we speak before we really commit to the truth. We speak out before we really can actually live up to the expectations of others or anything in our life. Sometimes we just we're just shooting off the hip, ain't we, most of the time? And he says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. When we talk to the God and we ask God, or we're making a vow, whether it's with our wife or spouse or whatever, you're totally committing. You're all in. You should be. Right? This is to death do us part. And that's what Christ taught. It's what he told Peter and all the fishermen, all follow me. To take up this cross, you got to die, but you know, come on. But when you get it, you get it all. You become whole with a W. Whole. And then you realize that everything here is temporal. Everything, our focus changes about commitment. The second way to devote our lives to God. Involves focus. And look at the beginning to verse 2 in Romans 12. And let me just read them again. I urge you therefore, brethren, to by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, by which is spiritual service, worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, one of the greatest hindrances in our devotion and relationship to God is the world. So our focus is often on everything around us. Everything around us, instead of on what is holy and acceptable and pleasing to God. Can I get an amen or an
amen.
Or an oh me?
Oh me.
Oh me.
And that's all good too. So, therefore, it says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, let us run with perseverance the race marked out. This is Hebrews 12:1. Marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. The joy set before him, he endured the cross. You know, I'm a racer. We got to race last night. Thank you, Jesus. Didn't race, but we practiced. But to race, you have to be committed. You have to be dedicated. And it's a lot of hard work. And you have to press the perseverance part, like he's talking here, is pressing in and pressing in and pressing in. And just like racing, you just press the gas. You just keep pressing the gas. And sometimes you got to press the brake because you don't want to run up on and hit somebody. Because you do, you tear your car up and you wreck. And it ain't good. But you got to have the mindset, the focus. You got to still be looking. Sometimes, like last night, I come around turn one and all of a sudden mud come out and just splattered my whole face. I couldn't see nothing. Thank God I had a tear-off lens. Mm-hmm. I went, rip, slung that sucker off, and I could see just as clear as the day started. That's what we need, guys. We need Jesus to be our tear-off lens. We need him to say, oh, you know, we start pressing in and things get muddy in our life. We get all twisted up, things happen, guess what? Rip it off. In the name of Jesus, you can see again. I just thought, that's free right there. I just thought I'd throw that in there. So our focus, though, needs to be on that one thing of what God is. And like Hebrew 12 says, we should surround ourselves with Him and throw off every hindrance. Every hindrance that so easily entangles us in our sin. And last but not least this morning, to find the missing puzzle, the missing piece in our life to become whole, we got to change our stinking thinking. Mm-hmm. Our stinking thinking gets us in trouble, don't it? Mm-hmm. Just like the rich young ruler, he reasoned himself in that he had done all these things. He probably actually convinced himself that he was good to go. But the truth was, he hadn't really done what he was supposed to do. He'd skipped over those commandments of loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and will. Like the first commandment, do not have graven images. What was his graven image?
Money.
Cool. Ooh. You know, Jesus taught, I'm not going to go too far off track here, but I think the Lord wants me to, because and I know nobody here. I know you guys, y'all are giving people. You love people, and you give all you can. And but oftentimes, though, and the reason I want to share this, because I was at a restaurant the other day, and I know this guy, and he come in, and I know he's a millionaire, let's just say that, okay? And we're at this restaurant, and these girls are just running, these waitresses, you know, they're just, just two waitresses serving all these tables, and they're like going crazy, working hard. This guy, you know, was sitting over there beside me at the bar, and he finished his meal up before I did. And he spoke to me, and I said, all right, see you later, so-and-so, you know. And he threw down a dollar and walked out. Guys, I was like, you know, I don't get people. These girls, they survive off of their tips.
Mm-hmm. Raising children.
The Bible talks about throwing your crumbs to the dogs. Guys, now I'm not. You know, we got a box on the wall over there, and we don't even take an offering. We say, if your heart's right and you love God and you know what it is to give, then you give. So, but here's the thing: to know what it is and not give is sin.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't give your dollar. Just go on, walk on out. Mm-hmm. Come on now, get real. The body of Christ is the same way in a lot of ways. You know, it's like we're giving God the crumbs. Mm-hmm. God's wanting it all. He wants to be all in.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should name this All In. I don't know, but listen, this is rent money, okay? It ain't, I don't like to carry around all this. This is a payment. Actually half of a payment on the rent here, because the corporation I have, we have a few rental houses. But if the people who lease our rentals don't pay the rent, it comes out of my pocket. I don't really have it.
Right.
It's the same way with this building. This is y'all's church. This is y'all's building, okay? It's you pay the corporation. I don't see the money that goes in that box. I don't know how much you give. I told Penny from the beginning, I never want to know that. I don't think a pastor should know that. It's not my business, okay? It's your business. Yours in the Lord. It's that guy's business that throwed that dollar down there. If that's where he's at, that's fine. But I'm going to tell you something. God ain't happy with it. God ain't happy with us half-hearted Christians who are trying to give crumbs back to God. And he said, I want to give you everything, but you will not give me nothing but half or a quarter. And God says, I want you to be all in. We talk about, we want revival. That's all you hear. I'm sick of hearing that. We need revival in us, the believers. Yeah. You can't have a worldwide revival until you have it in you.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Come on.
What does it say if we humble ourselves? What?
He will exalt us.
Pray. Mm-hmm. Seek His face. Then God will heal our land. Mm-hmm. Oh, we want everything but to really get down on our knees and really give our all to God. We learned this other night in CR. It tells us that don't even come up here with your dollar, basically. I'm paraphrasing. Your gift. But don't even go to the Lord until if you've got some problem, go and deal with that with somebody else. That's how important it is to have a pure heart. God said, don't even come to me. Because you're living in sin. So why did Jesus, most of His teaching, the percentage was on giving. And a lot of it was money. There's an importance there. Just like the rich young ruler. It becomes our life. Okay, I'm done with that soapbox. So, as we begin to change our stinking thinking, and we begin to focus on the truth, which what? Sets us free. Mm-hmm. We have the life that Jesus said in John 10:10. The abundant life. The abundant life. Because, listen, you can't use this excuse anymore. Well, I don't have this. I don't have that. I've been to Ghana, Africa. And I've seen people live in a box half the size of this with a family of 10. Mm-hmm. With holes in the wall, cooking outside on an open fire pit with sewage running right beside where they're cooking and eating. And then glorifying God like nobody I've ever seen in the church.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I mean, jumping up and down. What can I do? What can I do? Can I pass out flyers for you? Kids, this tall, families, what can I do? Where is your service? Where is our service this day? All we want is a feel-good gospel. We want a feel-good church. We want to go and be ministered with the best music and choir and everything else. And God ain't happy with it. Oh, He wants all in. He wants some people weeping before the Lord. Like this morning I saw people's heart being broken. It might be that you're in a situation because you're hurting and broken about something. But when you get to that point, God can enter in. Yes. And He become alive. Yes. And you can become whole.
Yes.
And you become the Christian that God says, this is what I mean being about Christ-like. When Jesus said the shortest sentence in the Bible, it said Jesus wept. He weeps because His people are not wholeheartedly serving Him. Mm-hmm. I think He wept whenever in Matthew 24 over there when it said that it says, Lord, didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do these mighty works and do this and that? And He said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Does He know you this morning? Because if you sit at His feet like that song and you really start hearing His heartbeat, He is the heartbeat of America. It ain't Chevrolet. It's not. It's not shareable, eh?
No bow tie.
Right.
Listen to this. I wrote this. I'm gonna do. I wasn't gonna share it, but I don't. I think I want to. There's
Got it. It's a bow tie.
That's right.
We know you're a Ford man, but that's all right too. Bless your heart. where did I write it? I want to go back if I can find it. Talking about total commitment. Let me explain it this way. There's this pig and this chicken walking down a road, and they're walking along, and they read this sign, this advertisement. It's advertising a breakfast to benefit the poor. Okay, and the chicken turned to the pig and said, "You and I should donate a ham and egg breakfast." And the pig replied, "Not so fast. For you, an egg is just a contribution. But for me, a ham is a total commitment." Think about that. Total commitment. He had to be all in, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's good. It's a chuckle, but it's good. It's real. God wants us to be all in. He wants us to quit playing games. God, I'm so sick of people playing games. I told the guys the other night, I don't want to see you back in jail in here. I want to see you outside praising the Lord.
Yeah.
Telling me, hey, guess what I learned? Guess what God did to my family? Guess what He did to my kids? They're letting me be in their life again. God said, my kids won't even speak to me anymore. I said, well, you got Jesus? Simple as that. You got Jesus? The guy I race with on his car, he's got, you know, you heard the old got milk? He's got on it, got Jesus? I said, dang, boy, I wish you hadn't got that for me. That's good. Got Jesus. So, listen to this. I'm going to close. I know it went 3-4 minutes over. That clock's 5 minutes fast.
Oh, come on.
David. You know David. Everybody knows David, right, of the Bible. David slayed the giant. David had a lot of problems, though, didn't he? Can we all relate to David? Get an amen?
Amen.
Listen to what he said in Psalms 13. It's a short psalm, so how long, Lord? Anybody ever been there? How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How many's felt that? Lord, you forgot me. How long will you hide your face from me? Listen to me. You're in here this morning, you don't feel like, don't go on your feelings. Feelings and emotions will separate you from God. Because you'll begin to doubt. You'll begin to have all these thoughts. We're changing our thinking, right? He said, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? It's a miserable place to be wrestling with that thought, to be wrestling with that thing that's out of your control, isn't it? It's out of your control. You can't do nothing about it anyway, right? You wish you could take that pain for your son. You can't know. Don't you know God loved His Son Jesus that much? Golly, He sent Him into it. You didn't send your son to do this stuff.
I had to turn him loose.
You had to turn him loose. You had to turn him loose. And David goes on and says, how long will my enemy triumph over me? You feel like you're being run roughshod, Don. feel like you be, the enemy's just having his way with you. David experienced this. Read the Psalms all throughout. If you didn't know that God, it said God, David was a man after God's own heart, you'd think, boy, this guy's a crybaby. Right? If you just read parts of it. Almost like Job too. And then, but it goes on. He says, look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, and I will sleep, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But here's the punchline. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation, and I will sing the Lord's praises, for he has been good to me. David learned the way out was to praise the Lord. There was no other way that could help him. When he was hid in the cave, running and hiding from the ones that wanted to kill him, he might have had those thoughts, just like you and I and everybody else had. I just can't go on. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know how I'm going to ever manage this. Just throw your hands up and say, I'm going to praise you anyway, Lord, because you're a good God. Your love is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. Your love never ends. And it's bigger than this, whatever I'm in. Today, God wants you to hear this word and the words that's been heard. He give us to me as well as to you, because I'm in stroking right along in that boat. Most of the time in my life, it's a struggle. I'm wrestling. I'm fighting. It's a race. So we got to keep on. We got to keep the faith, like Paul told Timothy. But today, you can be victorious. And most of the time, we forget these principles. That's why we fellowship and come to church. We understand that God has a word. And when we're weak, He's made strong. He's made perfect. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. Thank you for everyone in this room who blesses me so. Now I bless them back, Lord. In your Son Jesus' name, I cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy God, we need you. We need revival within each one of us. Our strength is weak. We may even feel crushed in a way. We're perplexed, or Lord, it feels so heavy on us, but Lord, lift it off. Carry us, Lord Jesus, through this time in our life, God. There may be someone here that need to hear this today so strongly, but Lord, they're leaving here with hope. We put our hope and trust in you. And God, may you become alive as they commit their lives to you, surrendering even those things that seem like impossible, whether it's our finances, our money. God, never forget when you showed me what it meant to truly give of my money. And 10% is of yours, but when I start giving over that, Lord, you give even more. And the same thing with our service. And Lord, as we come into a new season, a new spring here, God, this is a time and a season to rejoice. And God, you're bringing up strong women and men of God here at Ministry House, so that God, you can use them for your kingdom. Not for this place, but for your kingdom. God, move on every heart here today. Show every one of them things in their life
that you want to change and help them with, may they have total surrender and being all in for you. In Jesus' name.
All God's children said, amen. Amen.